Now, not many people realize this, but Christianity is actually a bit like a game show. You've got two boxes in front of you, and if you pick the right box, you get the prize. Now, as you would know, we believe that when we die, we will stand before the Lord and be judged to enter into eternal life. Now, box one over here, this is, if you want to choose this one, this is where when you stand before God, He will keep account of everything you've ever done and punish you accordingly. In complete justice. Doesn't sound that attractive, does it? Box two, however, is where God will look at you with complete mercy, forget everything you've ever done, completely wipe away all sin, and just welcome you in with open arms. Now, quick show of hands, who wants box one? No one? Okay, box two? Good. Some people aren't decided, or they don't care, which strangely enough is a good reflection of the way a lot of our society thinks. We don't care about God. You know, we're not that worried about the issue. Deal with it when we get there. Now, the sad news is, which I have to break to you, is that most of you have already made this decision. You made this decision many years ago, and you continue to make it every day. And, unfortunately, most of you have chosen box one. Okay? You're all now wide awake and wondering, what on earth is he talking about? It's this. This is, strangely, the heart of the gospel. Jesus spends a lot of time saying this, but we never actually pay attention to it because it's so uncomfortable to pay attention to. The basic formula is quite simple. God is mercy. God is infinite mercy. Mercy overflowing, completely on offer. You want it, you've got it. Slight condition, though. He then says, I will be merciful to you in the way that you have been merciful to others. If you have not been merciful to others, then I will treat you according to the judgment, the standard that you have for other people. Now that's kind of scary. But this is our faith. This is exactly what we just heard in the parable. This story where one man is forgiven an enormous debt, you know, billions of dollars worth. Just completely wiped away. The king says, forgiven. Ask no more. Don't even worry about it. He then goes out, finds a man who owes him $100, grabs him by the throat and says, right, pay me everything or be sent to prison. And Jesus says, this is how we are. We who have been forgiven everything, we who have received absolute mercy, and yet we go and hold people to account for the tiniest things. And he quite simply says, you will be treated the way you've treated them. We hear it so clearly in the first reading here from Ecclesiasticus. If a man nurses anger against another, can he then demand compassion from the Lord? Showing no pity for a man like himself, can he then plead for his own sin? Mere creature of flesh, he cherishes resentment. Who will forgive him his sin? Whenever we pray the Our Father, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're basically making a deal with God, saying, forgive me the way that I've forgiven them, or haven't forgiven them, as the case may be. We have to take this very seriously, because we are basically creating the standard of our own judgment. Now, the fact that you are human means that you probably have a lot of resentment and bitterness in your heart. True? Yeah, few nods. It's the way we are. You know, we get hurt. People do hurt us in big ways and in small ways. And there's something deep within us where we don't want to forgive. You know, I hold on to these things with such bitterness and resentment because I don't want to let the person go free. There's almost this twisted thinking that If I forgive them, then I've let them off. And they have to pay, they have to be punished. And so I'm going to hold on to this until they come and beg for my forgiveness. I will not forgive them until they say sorry. And until they've shown me their sorrow by weeping and gnashing of teeth and begging forgiveness, and it never happens. They never come and ask your forgiveness, or rarely. And what happens is we're left bitter and resentful, poisoning ourselves with hatred. And the stupid irony of this is that by holding on to this resentment, we allow them to keep hurting us. Because you keep playing the memories over and over again. And every day you think about what they said or what they did or what they didn't do. It's as though you give them permission to keep hitting you. They've forgotten it. They've moved on. They probably were oblivious that they even hurt you in the first place. But you are giving yourself permission just to keep being hurt every single day. All in the name of not letting them go free. I always love that great quote by Archbishop Fulton Sheen, that resentment is like drinking a cup of poison and hoping that the other person dies. Because that's how it works. We're the one who gets punished. Jesus spends so much time talking about forgiveness for your sake. Set yourself free. You don't have to carry this rubbish anymore. Now, there is a real madness in mercy. It doesn't make sense. You know, we understand justice very well, and we demand justice. Mercy doesn't make sense because it means that we just completely set the person free. It's a matter of saying to them, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to prove your sorrow or your remorse. I set you free. And it really doesn't make sense. You know, years ago, some of you have probably heard me tell the story. I was working with, up in the Darwin prison, working with this guy who was a convicted murderer, murdered two women. We were preparing him to be baptized. In this moment of baptism, God would just say, it's gone. It's annihilated. It's as though, in the mind of God, your sin does no longer exist. That's mercy. God doesn't keep holding him to it, saying, I still remember what you've done. And you're not sorry enough. You've got to keep doing more to prove to me that you're sorry. It's annihilated. It ceases to exist. And God now says to us, be merciful in the same way. Just let it go. You know, sure, you still remember the situation. There are still scars from where you've been hurt. But the very act of forgiving opens the door to healing. As long as we stand with a clenched fist, refusing to let go, we block God out of the picture. We stop God from being merciful to us. We stop God from being able to heal us. We create this impenetrable wall around ourselves. But as soon as we forgive, even if it's just that rational decision to say, yep, as hard as this is, as much as this kills me, I forgive them. In that moment, we allow the Spirit of God to enter. And we hand ourselves over to God and give Him the permission to start the healing process. It can take years. It can take a long time for our emotions to catch up. You know, you can find yourself years down the track thinking about that situation and still reacting. Your whole body can sort of tense up and think, I'm really not sure whether I actually do forgive them, even though I've said this a million times. But every day to come back and say, yes, Lord, I put them into your hands. I don't want to stand as their judge and executioner. I put them into your hands. I pray for them, and I ask that you heal me. This is the transformation we need. Now, once again, this is impossible. We need to be very clear about this. It is completely impossible for us to forgive in our own strength. And once again, Jesus is very clear on this point. You can only forgive by knowing that you have been forgiven. It is only when you have encountered the mercy of God that you can give mercy. And this is why our world struggles. You know, we've got this situation in our world where more and more people don't believe in God. And personally, I see a direct link between the fact that they don't believe in mercy. How can you believe in a God who is the source of all mercy if you don't believe in mercy itself? If you refuse to invite it into your life? And so for us, we have to encounter the merciful heart of God. And as such, we need to own our sin. We need to know the truth of what we have done. So often we spend a lot of energy trying to just justify ourselves. You know, we paint ourselves as being the greatest saints in the world because everyone else has done worse things than us. Not because we've done anything good, but just because we can find someone who looks uglier than us. You know, their things are worse. Or we just recreate the moral code, as so much of our world is trying to do. You know, I'll just rewrite the Ten Commandments so that I can tick all 10 of them and be perfect. And yet the truth is, we have messed up. We do mess up. We hurt so many people by our actions, by our selfishness. And we're terrified of owning up to that, because we only look at ourselves. If we do not know the mercy of God, then admitting your fault simply leads to self-condemnation. But if you look at the cross, then it leads to absolute freedom. If you look at the mercy of God, if you look at what he has done, the lengths that he has gone to set you free, then you can stand in the truth. Only then can you open up that mess that is inside your heart. Because when you look at the cross, you see that he has taken all of it upon himself. Jesus has taken all of your sin. You were the one who deserved to be punished, and yet Jesus has said, I take it on me, and I will be punished. I will die for you. You are now free. The innocent one has died for the guilty. And this is the most beautiful thing. You're free. You have been set free by the mercy of Christ. And you need to gaze upon that cross every day and rejoice. So many Christians are indifferent about Christ because we do not claim the mercy. We look at the cross and just think, yeah, I've seen that before. But if we look at the cross and there we see our sin, there we see the punishment that we should have had, and there we see our freedom, then our hearts rejoice. We cannot help but praise. We cannot help but come back to the Lord in worship and thanksgiving. And we cannot help but pass that mercy on to others so that other people could know the freedom that we have known. This is the most amazing thing that you have been given, this ability to be merciful. This is a divine action. Only God can forgive sins. And yet here he gives you the option, he gives you the ability to effectively stand in the place of God, to forgive those who have hurt you, to set them free. This is a great honor. You have the ability to transform people's lives by your mercy, rather than harboring bitterness to pray for them. Even if a relationship is so broken that you can no longer be reconciled, you can still forgive and you can still love and you can still change their hearts. Much more will be achieved through your prayer and your love for that person than by you stewing over those memories again and again. Jesus puts it to us very simply. Be merciful as God is merciful. be merciful to others in the same way that he has been merciful to you. And every time you pray the Our Father, pay attention to those words. Pay attention to the deal that we are making with God every single day and the seriousness of the situation if we don't forgive. If we choose to harbor that and hold on to the resentment, hold on to the bitterness, we are the ones being imprisoned. We are the ones being poisoned. So gaze upon the cross and let him set you free.